She saved what she was working on and closed her laptop, following Dimitri into his office where she took a seat. Her boss leaned against his desk. How's that article coming along? Fine. It's fine. If he was looking for a summary of what she planned to write, she didn't have one. She had thought about writing about the mother who came to Hades to ask for her daughter's life. And though she didn't understand why Hades wished to keep that a secret, she wanted to honor the request he made of the woman. Since the morning after La Rose, when Hades had confused her with his passion and anger, she'd just focused on avoiding him. She knew that wasn't best, especially if she was going to get this article submitted in a few weeks. But she still had the weekend, and with her and Hades' track record, he was bound to do something to piss her off, which meant ideal writing material. God of the Game was our most popular story to date. Millions of views, thousands of comments, and papers sold. You were right, she said. People are curious about Hades. Which is why I called you in, he said. Persephone straightened, her thoughts shooting in all sorts of directions. She'd been waiting for Dimitri to request more from her. So far, he'd let her have creative control over how she covered Hades, and she didn't want to lose that.
I've got an assignment for you.
An assignment? She echoed.
I've been holding on to these.
He reached for an envelope on his desk and handed it to her.
I hadn't decided who to send, but I had no doubt after the success of your article.
What is it? She was too nervous to open the envelope, but her boss just smiled.
Why don't you open it?
Persephone did, and found two tickets inside to Saturday's Olympian Gala at the Museum of Ancient Arts. They were beautiful invitations, black with gold leaf lettering, and looked just as expensive as the gala itself. Persephone's eyes went wide. The Olympian Gala was the biggest event of the year. It was a huge fashion show, party, and charity event. Every year, a theme was chosen, inspired by a god or goddess, and that god or goddess got to choose what charity project was funded with the money raised at the gala. Tickets were coveted and cost hundreds of dollars. But why me? She demanded. You should be going to this. You're the editor-in-chief.
I have another obligation that night.
Bigger than the Olympian Gala? Dimitri smirked.
I have been many times, Persephone.
I don't understand. Hades doesn't even go to the gala. She'd watched live coverage of the event with Lexa and had never seen him enter with the other gods, and no one had ever snapped a photo of him.
Lord Hades doesn't allow himself to be photographed, but he always attends.
I can't go, she said after a long silence. Her boss leveled his gaze with hers.
Persephone, what are you so afraid of?
I'm not afraid. Though she kind of was. The last time she'd seen her mother, she'd threatened to send her back to the greenhouse if she went to Nevernight or saw Hades again. It didn't matter where. Plus, she wasn't even supposed to be around the gods. And it wasn't like she could hide the fact that she was there from her mother. Demeter would be there too. But that was all too complicated to say to Dimitri.
Consider it an opportunity for research and observation, he said. We always write about the Olympian Gala. You'll just put the spotlight on Hades.
You don't understand, she started.
Take the tickets, Persephone. Think it over. But don't take too much time. You don't have long to decide.
She didn't feel comfortable taking the tickets because she was certain she wasn't going to the gala. Still, Dimitri sent her back to her desk with them, and she sat down in a daze, staring at the envelope. After a moment, she pulled the tickets out to read them. Join us for an evening in the underworld. She'd had no idea this year's theme was the underworld. Her curiosity heightened. How would the organizers of this event interpret Hades' realm? She bet they'd never guess there was so much life below. She also wondered what charity Hades would choose to donate to. Gods, she really wanted to go. But there were so many cons. her mother for one. It was also a few days away, and she didn't have a gown just lying around. Her gaze dropped to the tickets again, where the dress code was printed further down the page and indicated the gala was a masquerade. It wasn't likely she could hide from her mother in a mask, but now she wondered if Hecate had any spells up her sleeve that would help. She made a mental note to ask when she visited the underworld this evening. Her desk phone rang, and she picked it up. "This is Persephone. Hades' assistant is here to see you," Valerie said. It took Persephone a moment to respond. "Minthy? What could Minthy possibly have to say to her?" "Oh, Adonis is bringing her back," Valerie added. Persephone looked up to see the nymph heading for her across the room. She was dressed in black, and her hair and green eyes shone like fire. Adonis walked beside her like an escort, expression utterly smitten. And suddenly, Persephone's dislike for him deepened.
"Hey, Persephone,"
Adonis said, oblivious to her frustration.
"You remember Minthy?"
"How could I forget?" Persephone replied matter-of-factly. The nymph smiled.
"I came to speak with you regarding the article you published about my employer."
"I'm afraid I don't have time to meet with you today. Maybe some other time."
"I'm afraid I must demand an audience."
"If you have complaints about the article, you should speak with my supervisor."
"I'd rather voice my concerns with you."
Minthy's eyes flashed.
And Persephone knew it would take a force of nature, likely Hades, to remove this lady from the building. They stared at one another for a long moment, and Adonis cleared his throat.
"Well, I'll let you two work this out."
Neither woman acknowledged Adonis as he slithered away, leaving them alone. After a moment, Persephone asked,
"Does Hades know you're here?"
"It is my job to advise Hades on matters that might harm his reputation, and when he will not listen to reason, act."
"Hades doesn't care about his reputation."
"But I do, and you are threatening it."
"Because of my article?"
"Because you exist," she said.
Persephone leveled her gaze. "Hades' reputation preceded his knowledge of my existence. Don't you think it's a little absurd to blame me?"
"I'm not talking about his bargains with mortals. I'm talking about his bargain with you."
Minthy spoke louder, and though Persephone knew what she was doing, the tactic worked. She wanted to shut her up.
"Now, if you will so kindly give me the time I have requested."
"Right this way," Persephone said through gritted teeth. She led the nymph into an interview room, shutting the door louder than necessary. She turned to Minthy and waited, crossing her arms over her chest. Neither sat down, an indication this wouldn't last long.
"You seem to think you have Hades all figured out," Minthy said, her eyes narrow.
Persephone stiffened. "And you disagree?" She smiled.
"Well, I have known him for centuries."
"I don't think I need to know him for centuries to understand he has no grasp of the human condition, nor does he understand how to help the world. Although what he'd done for that mother was more than generous. She was starting to understand there were rules at work that prevented even Hades, a powerful and long-existing god, from doing whatever he wanted.
"Hades will not kneel to your every whim," Minthy said.
"I don't expect him to kneel," Persephone said, "though it would be a nice touch." Minthy took a step forward and spat.
"Arrogant girl."
Persephone stiffened and lowered her arms. "I am not a girl."
"Do you know what? I don't know what such a powerful god sees in you. You are entitled and magicless, and yet he continues to let you into our realm."
"Trust me, nymph, it's not a choice."
"Isn't it? Isn't it a choice every time you let him put his hands on you? Every time he kisses you? I know Lord Hades, and if you asked him to stop, he would. But you don't. You never do."
Persephone's blush was fierce, but she managed. "I don't want to discuss this with you."
No? Then I will get to the point. You are making a mistake. Hades isn't interested in love, nor is he made for it. Keep walking this path and you will get hurt.
Are you threatening me?
No. It's the promise of falling in love with a god.
I'm not falling for Hades, Persephone argued. The nymph offered a cruel smile.
Denial, she said. It's the first stage of reluctant love. Don't make this mistake, Persephone.
She hated her name on the nymph's tongue and couldn't repress a shudder. Swallowing, Persephone felt her glamour ripple. Is this why you came to my work? To warn me against Hades?
Yes, she said. And now I have an offer to extend.
I want nothing from you. Persephone's voice shook.
If you truly wish to be free of your contract, you will take my offer.
Persephone glared, still mistrusting, but she couldn't deny she wanted to hear what the nymph had to say. Minthy chuckled.
Hades has asked you to create life in the underworld. There is a spring in the mountains where you will find the Well of Reincarnation. It will give life to anything, even your desolate garden.
Persephone had never heard of such a place in any of her readings of the underworld, though that wasn't saying much. Those books also described the underworld as dead and desolate. And why should I trust you?
It has nothing to do with trust. You want to be free from your contract with Hades, and I want Hades to be free from you.
She stared at Minthy for a moment. She wasn't sure what compelled her to ask the question, but she found the words rolling off her tongue. Do you love him?
You think this has to do with love? Minthy demanded. How sweet. I'm protecting him. Hades loves nothing but a good bargain. And you, my young goddess, are the worst wager he's ever made.
Then Minthy was gone. Chapter 16. A Touch of Darkness.
You are the worst wager he's ever made.
Minthy's words rolled around in Persephone's head. Now and then, they hit a chord so sensitive, she felt a fresh flush of rage as she made her way to Nevernight. Despite realizing that her garden might not succeed in fulfilling the contract between her and Hades, she felt like it would be giving up to ignore it completely. So she returned, watered her garden, and then sought out her new friends in Asphodel. Persephone made a point to stop by Asphodel every time she visited the underworld now. There, in the Green Valley, she found the dead lived. They planted gardens and harvested fruit. They made jams, butter, and bread. They sewed and knitted and weaved, making clothing and scarves and rugs. It was the reason they had an extensive market that twisted throughout the alleyways between the strange volcanic glass homes. More than usual, the dead were out in droves, and the market was bustling with an energy she had yet to experience in the underworld. Excitement. A few of the souls strung lanterns between their homes, decorating the alleyway they shared. Persephone watched them for several moments until she heard a familiar voice.
Good evening, my lady.
Persephone turned to find Yuri, a pretty young woman with thick curls, approaching her on the road. She wore pink robes and carried a large basket of pomegranates.
Yuri, Persephone smiled and hugged the girl.
The two had gotten to know each other one day when Yuri offered her one of her signature tea blends. Persephone had loved it so much she tried to purchase a tin, but Yuri refused her money and offered it for free.
What would I do with money in the underworld? She'd asked.
The next time Persephone visited, she brought Yuri a jeweled clip so she could pin back her thick hair. The girl had been so grateful, she threw her arms around Persephone and then quickly backed away, apologizing for being so forward. Persephone had only laughed and said, "I like hugs." The two had been friends ever since. "Is something happening today?" Persephone asked. Yuri smiled.
"We are celebrating Lord Hades."
Why? She didn't mean to sound so surprised, but she wasn't feeling generous toward the god of the dead these days. Is it his birthday? Yuri laughed at that question.
and Persephone realized how dumb it was to ask. Hades likely didn't celebrate a birthday, or even remember when he was born.
Because he is our king, and we wish to honor him.
There were several festivals celebrating gods above ground, but none of them celebrated the god of the underworld.
We've been hopeful that he will soon have a queen.
Persephone paled. Her first thought was, who? And then, why? What had given them the impression that they might have a queen? What? Yuri smiled.
Come now, Persephone, you aren't so blind.
I think I am.
Lord Hades has never given a god so much freedom over his realm.
Oh, Yuri was referring to her. What about Hecate? Hermes, she argued. They each had access to the underworld and came and went as they pleased.
Hecate is a creature of this world, and Hermes is merely a messenger. You're something more.
Persephone shook her head. I'm no more than a game, Yuri. She could tell by the tilt of her head that the soul was confused by her statement, but Persephone wasn't going to argue. The souls of the underworld might see Hades' treatment as special, but she knew it for what it was. Yuri reached into her basket and offered Persephone a pomegranate.
Even so, will you not stay? This celebration, it's just as much for you as it is for Hades.
The shock of Yuri's words went deep.
But I'm not...
You can't worship me.
Why not? You are a goddess, you care for us, and you care for our king.
She wanted to argue that she didn't care for Lord Hades, but the words wouldn't come. Before she could think of a good response, her attention was drawn away by a chorus of voices.
Lady Persephone! Lady Persephone!
Something small but powerful rammed into her legs, and she almost fell into Yuri in her basket.
Isaac! Apologize to your...
Yuri paused, and she got the sense the souls in Asphodel had already started calling her by a title she didn't own.
Apologize to Lady Persephone.
The child in question withdrew his embrace from Persephone's legs. He'd been followed by an army of children ranging in age, all of whom Persephone had met before and played several games with. Joining them were Hades' dogs, Cerberus, Typhon, and Orthrus. Cerberus clasped their large red ball in his jowls.
Sorry, Lady Persephone. Will you play with us? Isaac begged.
Lady Persephone is not dressed to play, Isaac, Yuri said, and the boy frowned.
It was true that Persephone hadn't been prepared to play in the meadow. She still wore her work attire, a form-fitting white dress.
It's perfectly all right, Yuri, she said, and reached to lift Isaac into her arms.
He was the youngest of the group. She guessed only about 4. It pained her to think of why this child was here in Asphodel. What had befallen him in the upper world? How long had he been here? Were any of these souls his family? She shut down those thoughts as quickly as they came. She could spend hours thinking about all the reasons any of these people were here, and it did no good. The dead were the dead, and she was learning their existence here really wasn't so bad.
Of course I'll play, she said.
A chorus of cheers erupted as she walked with the children to a clear part of the meadow, out of the way of the souls preparing for Hades' celebration. Persephone played catch with the dogs, along with tag, and a million other games the children made up. Persephone spent more time sliding in the wet grass to avoid being tagged than she did on her feet. By the time she walked away from the field, she was covered in mud, but happily exhausted. It had grown dark in the underworld, and musicians stepped into the thoroughfare, playing sweet notes. Souls filled the streets to chat and laugh, and the smell of meat cooking and sweets baking thickened the air. It wasn't long before Persephone found Hecate in the crowd, and the goddess smiled at her appearance.
My dear, you are a mess.
The goddess of spring smiled. It was an intense game of tag.
I hope you won.
I was a complete failure, she said. The children are far more adept. The two laughed, and another soul approached them. Ian, a blacksmith who always kept his forge hot, working metal into beautiful blades and shields. She'd asked him once why he seemed to be preparing for battle, and the man replied,
Habit.
Persephone didn't think too long on that, just as she tried not to think too long on Isaac.
My lady,
Ian said,
Asphodel has a gift for you.
Persephone waited, curious, as the soul dropped to his knee and drew a beautiful gold crown from behind his back. This wasn't just any crown. It was a series of carefully crafted flowers made into a circlet. Among the bouquets, she spied roses and lilies and narcissus. Tiny gems of various colors sparkled at the center of each flower.
Will you wear our crown, Lady Persephone?
The soul wasn't looking at her, and she wondered if he feared her rejection. She glanced up, eyes going wide as she realized that the whole place had gone quiet. The souls waited, expectant. She remembered Yuri's comments earlier. These people had come to think of her as a queen, and accepting this crown would only encourage that, but not accepting would hurt them. Against her better judgment, she placed a hand on Ian's shoulder and knelt to him. She looked into his eyes and answered, I will gladly wear your crown, Ian. She allowed the soul to place the crown on her head, and everyone broke into cheers. Grinning, Ian offered his hand, leading her into a dance at the center of the dirt walkway, beneath the light strung overhead. Persephone felt ridiculous in her stained dress and gold crown, but the dead didn't seem to notice or care. She danced until she could scarcely breathe and her feet hurt. When she moved toward Hecate for respite, the goddess of witchcraft said, I think you could use some rest and a bath. Persephone laughed. I think you're right. They will celebrate all night long, she added. But you have made their night. Hades has never visited to celebrate with them. Persephone's heart fell. Why not? Hecate shrugged. I cannot speak for him, but it is a question you may ask. The two returned to the palace. On their way to the baths, Persephone explained that she had received two tickets to the Olympian gala and asked if Hecate had any spells that might help her go unseen by her mother. The goddess considered her question, then asked, Do you have a mask? Persephone frowned. I planned to pick one up tomorrow. Leave it to me. The baths were located at the back of the fortress and accessed through an archway. When Persephone stepped inside, she was greeted by the smell of fresh linen and lavender, and a warm mist coated her skin and sank into her bones. She flushed with the heat of the air, and it was welcomed after her evening spent in the muddy meadow. Hecate led her down a network of steps, past several smaller pools and showers. This is a public bath? She asked. In antiquity, public bathhouses were very common, but they'd fallen out of popularity in modern times. She wondered how many in the palace used this house. Among them, Minthy and Hades. Hecate laughed. Yes, though Lord Hades has his own private pool, that is where you will bathe. She didn't protest. She wasn't keen on bathing in public. Hecate paused to gather supplies for Persephone, soap and towels and a lavender peplos. Persephone hadn't worn the ancient garment in nearly 4 years, since she left Olympia and the greenhouse for New Athens. Wearing one now felt strange after 4 years in mortal clothes. They descended a final set of steps and came to Hades' pool. It was a large oval surrounded by columns. Overhead, the ceiling was exposed to the sky. Call for me if you need anything, Hecate said, and left Persephone to undress in private. When you are finished, join us in the dining room. Naked, Persephone took a tentative step toward the water, dipping her foot in to test the temperature. It was hot, but not scalding. She entered the pool and groaned with pleasure. Steam rose around her and drew perspiration from her skin. The water was cleansing, and she felt like it washed away the day. Thankfully, the celebration in Asphodel had relieved a lot of the stress from Minthy's earlier visit. And now that she was back in his realm and thinking of where he and Minthy might bathe, all those thoughts came rushing back to the surface. How was she the one threatening Hades' reputation? The god of the dead did enough damage on his own. Despite the fact that Persephone wanted a way out of her contract, she wasn't sure she trusted Minthy enough to listen. Persephone scrubbed her skin and scalp until it was raw and pink. She wasn't sure how long she soaked in the water after that, because she'd gotten lost in the details of the bath, noticing a line of white tiles with red narcissus peering over the edge of the water around the pool. The columns she had thought were white were actually brushed with gold. The sky overhead deepened, and tiny stars glimmered. She was amazed by Hades' magic, how he blended scents and textures. He was a master with his brush, smoothing and stippling, creating a realm that rivaled the beauty of the most sought-after destinations in the upper world. She was so lost in thought, she almost didn't hear the sound of boots treading on the steps into the bath until Hades appeared at the edge of the pool and their eyes met. She was glad the water had already flushed her skin, and he couldn't see how hot she'd grown at his presence. He didn't say anything for a long moment, just stared at her in his bath. Then his eyes fell to the clothes she'd stripped off at his feet. Among them, the gold crown. Hades bent and picked it up.
This is beautiful.
She cleared her throat. It is. Ian made it for me. She didn't bother asking him if he knew Ian. Hades had told her before that he knew all the souls in the underworld.
He is a talented craftsman. It is what led to his death.
Persephone frowned. What do you mean?
He was favored by Artemis, and she blessed him with the ability to create weapons that ensured their wearer could not be defeated in battle. He was killed for it.
Persephone swallowed. It was just another way a god's favor could result in pain and suffering. Hades spent a moment longer inspecting the crown before setting it down again. When he rose to his feet, Persephone was still staring at him and hadn't moved an inch. Why didn't you go to the celebration in Asphodel? It was for you.
And you, he said.
It took her a moment to figure out what he meant.
They celebrated you, he said, as they should.
I am not their queen.
And I am not worthy of their celebration.
She stared. How could this confident and powerful god feel unworthy of his people's celebration? If they feel you're worthy of celebration, don't you think that's enough? He did not respond. Instead, his eyes grew darker, and a strange feeling pervaded the air, heavy, heated, and spiced. It made her chest feel tight, restricting her breath.
May I join you?
His voice was deep and sultry. Persephone's brain short-circuited. He meant in the pool, naked, where only water would provide cover. She found herself nodding, and she wondered briefly if she had gone insane having been in the water too long, but there was a part of her that burned so hot for this god she would do anything to sate the flame, even if it meant testing it. He didn't smile, and he didn't take his eyes from her as he stripped off his clothes. Her eyes made a slow descent from his face to his arms and chest, his torso, and held at his arousal. She wasn't the only one who felt this electric attraction, and she feared when they entered the water together, they might incinerate. He stepped into the pool, saying nothing. He stopped a few inches from her.
I believe I owe you an apology.
For what, specifically? She asked. There were several things he might be apologizing for in her mind. Minthy's unannounced visit, if he knew about it. The way he'd treated her the morning after La Rose. The contract. Hades smirked, but the humor didn't touch his gaze. No, his gaze burned. The king of the underworld reached out and touched her face, drawing a finger across her cheek.
Last time we saw each other, I was unfair to you.
He had stripped her bare and teased her in the most vicious way, and when he had left her, she felt embarrassed and angry and abandoned. She didn't want him to see any of that in her eyes, so she looked away. We were unfair to each other. When she managed to look at him again, he was studying her.
You like your life in the mortal realm?
Yes. At his question, she put distance between them, swimming backwards. But Hades followed, slow and calculated. I like my life. I have an apartment and friends and an internship. I'm going to graduate from university soon. And she would get to stay if she kept Hades and the contract a secret.
But you are divine.
I have never lived that way, and you know it. Again, he studied her, quiet for a moment. Then,
you have no desire to understand what it is to be a goddess?
No, she lied. The claws of that long-ago dream still had a hold of her, and the more she visited the underworld, the more her heart ached for it. She'd spent her childhood feeling inadequate, surrounded by her mother's magic. When she'd come to New Athens, she'd finally found something she was good at, school and writing and research. But once again, she found herself in the same situation as before. Different god, different realm.
I think you're lying, he said.
You don't know me. She stopped moving and glared at him, angry that he saw right through her. Hades was now toe to toe with her, looking down, eyes like coals.
I know you.
He trailed his fingers over her collarbone and moved so that he was behind her.
I know the way your breath hitches when I touch you. I know your skin flushes when you're thinking about me. I know there is something beneath this pretty facade.
Hades' fingers continued their feather-like caress over Persephone's skin. His words weren't far behind, whispering along the path of heat he left. He kissed her shoulder.
There is rage. There is passion. There is darkness.
He paused a moment and let his tongue swirl against her neck. Her breath caught in her throat so hard she thought she might choke.
And I want to taste it.
His arm came around her waist and her back met his chest. The arch of her body fit against him perfectly, his arousal pressed into her, and she wondered what it would feel like to have that flesh inside her. Hades, she breathed.
Let me show you what it is to hold power in your hands, he said. Let me coax the darkness from you. I will help you shape it.
Yes, she thought, yes. Hades' head rested in the crook of her neck as his hand brushed along her stomach and lower. When he cupped her sex, she gasped, arching against him. Hades, I've never...
Let me be your first, he said,
begged, and his voice rumbled in her chest. She couldn't speak, but she took a few breaths and then nodded. He answered by brushing his fingers through her curls, then grazing his thumb against that sensitive bud at the apex of her core. She inhaled sharply and then held her breath as he toyed with her there, stroking and circling.
Breathe,
he said. And she did, as much as she could anyway, until his fingers sank into her flesh. Persephone threw her head back, crying out as Hades groaned, his teeth grazing her shoulder.
You're so wet.
His mouth was warm against her skin. He moved slowly in and out, and Persephone held onto his arm, nails digging into his skin. Then she felt Hades' other hand guide hers down.
Touch yourself. Here, he said.
He helped her circle the sensitive flesh he'd toyed with for so long before entering her. Pleasure curled through her stomach. She rocked against him, arching her back. Hades kissed her skin ruthlessly and cupped her breast, kneading her nipples until they were hard and taut. She thought she would explode. Hades moved faster, and Persephone rubbed harder. And then suddenly he withdrew. The absence of him was so shocking she cried out. She twisted toward him in anger, and he grabbed her wrists, pulling her toward him, his mouth descending on hers. His kiss was consuming. Their tongues collided, desperate and searching. She thought he might be trying to taste her soul. He pulled away, resting his forehead against hers.
Do you trust me?
Yes, she breathed.
and she felt the truth of her words deep in her soul. It was a knowledge so primal and so pure she thought she might weep. In this, she trusted him. In this, she would always trust him. He kissed her again and lifted her onto the edge of the bath.
Tell me you have never been naked with a man, he said. Tell me I am the only one.
She cupped his face, searching his eyes, and answered, You are. He kissed her before moving his arms under her knees, shifting her so that she barely rested on the edge of the pool. She couldn't breathe as he kissed along the inside of her thigh, pausing when he reached the bruises on her flesh. She hadn't noticed them, but looking at them now, she knew exactly where they had come from. The night in the limo when Hades had gripped her tight. It was a sign of his need and of his restraint. He looked up at her.
Was this me?
It's okay, she whispered, and ran her fingers through his hair. But Hades frowned and kissed each bruise, 8 in total, Persephone counted. Slowly, he moved from the outside in, closer to her core. And then his mouth was on her, and a cry escaped her. She felt molten where he touched her, and it spread all over her body. His tongue circled her clit and parted her damp flesh, drinking her until she came apart. He rose to his full height and kissed her hard on the lips. She melted into him, wrapping her legs around his waist. She could feel his cock pressing into her entrance, and she wanted desperately to feel him inside her, to know what it was to be filled up and whole. Hades pulled away from the kiss, wordlessly asking for permission, and she would have granted it had she not heard a soft, feminine voice call out, Lord Hades? Hades twisted her so that the woman who approached could only see her back. They were chest to chest, and Persephone's legs were still wrapped around Hades' waist. She let her hand slip between them and wrapped her fingers around his hard flesh. Hades' eyes bore into hers as she touched him.
Hey.
Persephone recognized the voice now. It was Minthy. She couldn't see the beautiful nymph, but knew by her voice that she was shocked to find them together. She had probably expected Persephone to heed her earlier warning and stay away.
Yes, Minthy?
Hades' voice was tight. Persephone wasn't sure if it was because he was angry at being interrupted or the fact that she had just stroked him from root to tip. He was thick and hard and soft.
We missed you at dinner, Minthy said. But I see that you are busy.
Another stroke.
Very, he gritted out. I will let the cook know you have been thoroughly sated.
Another.
Quite, he gritted out.
The soft click of Minthy's heels echoed and disappeared. When she was out of earshot, Persephone pushed away from Hades. She couldn't believe she'd let this happen. She was insane, enticed by pretty words and a stunningly attractive god. She should have stayed away, not because of Minthy's warning, but because of Minthy herself.
Where are you going? He demanded, following after her.
How often does Minthy come to you in the bath? She asked as she stepped out of the pool.
Persephone.
She didn't look at him as she grabbed a towel to cover herself. She reached for the peplos and the crown Ian had made for her.
Look at me, Persephone.
She did. He hadn't quite exited the pool, but stood on the steps, his feet and calves submerged. He was huge, his body and his erection.
Minthy is my assistant.
Then she can assist you with your need, she said, looking right at his cock. She started to move away, but Hades reached for her and pulled her to him.
I don't want Minthy, he growled.
I don't want you. Hades tilted his head to the side, and his eyes flashed.
You don't want me?
No, she said, but it was as if she was trying to convince herself. Especially since Hades' eyes had dropped to her lips.
Do you know all of my powers, Persephone?
He asked, finally leveling his gaze with hers. It was really hard to think when he was so close, and she looked at him warily, wondering what he was getting at.
Some of them?
Enlighten me.
She recalled the passage she'd read about the Lord of the Dead's magic. Illusion? As she spoke, he leaned in, lightly kissing the column of her neck.
Yes.
Invisibility? A press of his tongue in the hollow of her throat.
Very valuable.
Charm, she breathed. The hum of his words vibrated against her skin, lower this time, closer to her breast.
But it doesn't work on you, does it?
No, she swallowed hard.
You seem to not have heard of one of my most valuable talents.
He pulled the towel down, exposing her breasts, and took one tight bud between his teeth, sucking until a guttural sound escaped her mouth. He pulled back and leveled his gaze with hers.
I can taste lies, Persephone, and yours are as sweet as your skin.
She pushed at him, and he took a step back. This was a mistake. That part she believed. She had come here to meet the terms of her contract. How had she ended up naked in a pool with the god of the dead? Persephone grabbed her clothes from the floor and moved up the steps.
You might believe this was a mistake, he said,
and she paused but didn't turn to look at him.
But you want me. I was inside you. I tasted you. That is a truth you will never escape.
She shivered and ran. Chapter 17, The Olympian Gala. Persephone couldn't sleep. Unspent energy coursed through her veins, making her body feel flushed beneath the blankets. She pushed them off, but found little relief. Her thin cotton nightgown was like a weight against her skin, and when she moved, the fabric brushed against her sensitive breasts. She curled her fingers into fists and clamped her thighs together to stop the pressure building in her core. And she could think of no one else but Hades. The press of his body against hers, the heat of his kiss, the feel of his tongue tasting more than the skin of her collarbone. She sighed, frustrated, and shifted in bed, but the pulsing didn't stop. This is ridiculous, she said aloud and got to her feet. She paced her room. She should be focused on fulfilling the terms of the contract with Hades, not kissing the king of the dead. Stupid favor, she thought. Each time Hades kissed her, things went farther and farther. Now she'd been brought to the edge of something she didn't understand, something she hadn't explored and couldn't shake. She looked at her bed. The rumpled comforter made it appear like she'd shared it with someone. She clenched and unclenched her fists. She had to make this feeling go away or she wasn't going to sleep, and she had too much to do. She and Lexa had to go shopping and get ready for the Olympian Gala. She made a split-second decision and stepped out of her panties. The cool air eased the tension in her core, just barely. It also made her hyper-aware of the dampness between her thighs. Lying down again, she moved her legs apart and drew her fingers along her thigh until they trailed her sex. She was wet and hot, and her fingers sank into a part of her she had never touched. She gasped, arching her back as she pleasured herself. Her thumb found that sensitive place at the apex of her thighs, and she worked it the way Hades had taught her, until her body felt electric, and waves of pleasure made her dizzy and unaware. She rolled onto her knees, working herself hard, imagining it was Hades' hand in place of hers, imagining that she could feel his hard length inside her. She knew that if Minthy hadn't interrupted, she would have let Hades take her in the pool. That thought spurred her on. Her breath came harder, and she moved faster.
Tell me you're thinking about me.
His voice came from the shadows, a chill breeze against a bright flame. Persephone froze and rolled, finding Hades standing at the end of her bed. She couldn't tell what he was wearing in the dark, but she could see his eyes, and they glittered like coals in the night. When she said nothing, he prompted,
Well?
Her thoughts scattered. A small shaft of light fell across a cheekbone and his full lips. She wanted those lips in all the places she felt fire.
She rose onto her knees and kept his gaze as she removed her nightshirt completely. Hades growled low in his throat and braced himself against the footboard of the bed. "Yes," she breathed. "I was thinking about you." The tension in the air thickened. Hades spoke in a growl that made Persephone's skin prick.
"Don't stop on my account."
Persephone began where she left off. Hades inhaled between gritted teeth as he watched her pleasure herself. At first, she maintained eye contact, reveling in the feel of his eyes roving every inch of her skin, reveling in this sin. Soon the pleasure was too much, and her head rolled back. Her hair spilled down her back, exposing her breasts for Hades' viewing.
"Come for me,"
he urged, and then commanded again.
"Come, my darling."
And she did, with a strangled cry. Sweet release pulsed through her, and she collapsed onto the bed. Her body shook, coming off the high. She breathed deep, inhaling the smell of pine and ash. And as she regained her scattered thoughts, the reality of her boldness descended like her mother's wrath. Hades. Hades was in her bedroom. She sat up with a start, scrambling for her nightshirt to cover her bare skin. It was a little ridiculous, given what had happened between them. She started to lecture Hades on his abuse of power and breach of privacy when she discovered she was alone. She craned her neck around the room. "Hades?" She whispered his name, feeling both ridiculous and nervous at the same time. She pulled on her nightshirt and slipped off the bed, checking every corner of her room, but he was nowhere to be found. Had her desire been so strong she hallucinated? Feeling uncertain, she climbed into bed, eyes heavy, and fell asleep to the rhythmic reminder that hallucinations don't smell like pine and ash.
"You look like a goddess," Lexa said.
Persephone studied her red silk gown in the mirror. It was simple, but fit her like a glove, accentuating the curve of her hips where the fabric gathered, and then split mid-thigh to expose one creamy leg. A pretty black floral applique spilled from her right shoulder down the right side of the open back. Lexa had styled her hair for her, pulling it into a high curled ponytail, and done her makeup, choosing a dark, smoky eye. Persephone accessorized with simple gold earrings and the gold cuff she wore to cover Hades' mark. Right now, she felt the burn of it on her skin. Persephone blushed. "Thank you." But Lexa wasn't finished, she added.
"Like the goddess of the underworld."
Persephone remembered Yuri's words and the soul's hope that Hades would soon have a queen. "There is no goddess of the underworld."
"The spot's just vacant," Lexa said.
Persephone didn't want to talk about Hades. She would see him soon enough, and she had never felt so confused about anything in her life. She knew her attraction to him would only get her in trouble. Despite hating Minthy's words, she believed them. Hades wasn't the type of god who wanted a relationship, and she already knew he didn't believe in love. Persephone wanted love, desperately. She'd been denied so much all her life. She wouldn't be denied love, too. Persephone shook her head, clearing those thoughts away. "How's Jason?" Lexa had met Jason at La Rose. They'd exchanged numbers and had been talking ever since. He was a year older than them and a computer engineer. When Lexa talked about him, it sounded like they were complete opposites, but somehow it was working. Lexa blushed.
"I really like him."
Persephone grinned. "You deserve it, Lex."
"Thank you."
Lexa popped back into her room to finish getting ready, and Persephone had just started to look for her clutch when the doorbell rang.
"I'll get it,"
she called to Lexa. When she answered, she found no one there, but a package rested on their doorstep, a white box with a red ribbon tied in a bow. She picked it up and brought it inside, looking to see if it was addressed to anyone. She found a tag that read, "Persephone." Inside, resting on black velvet, was a note and a mask.
Wear this with your crown. Persephone sat at a side and pulled out a beautifully filigree gold mask. Despite its detail, it was simple and didn't cover much of her face.
Is that from Hades? Lexa asked, stepping into the kitchen.
Persephone's mouth fell open when she saw her best friend. Lexa had chosen a strapless, royal blue taffeta gown for tonight's affair. Her white mask, embellished with silver, had a poof of feathers coming out of the top right side.
Well?
She prompted when Persephone didn't answer. Oh, she looked down at the mask. No, it's not from Hades. Persephone took the box to her room. She felt a little silly putting the crown Ian had given her on her head, but once her mask was on, she understood Hecate's instruction. The combination was striking, and she really did look like a queen. Persephone and Lexa took a cab to the Museum of Ancient Arts. Their tickets indicated an arrival time of 5:30, an hour and a half earlier than the gods. No one wanted pictures of mortals unless they draped the arm of one of the divine. They waited in the back of the stuffy cab at the end of a long line of vehicles before they were finally let out at the edge of a grand set of steps covered in red carpet. Persephone was grateful for the fresh air, except that she was immediately accosted by the flash of camera lights. She felt crowded and claustrophobic. Her chest tightened once again. Attendants ushered them up the steps into the ominous museum, the facade of which was modern, made of concrete pillars and glass. Once inside, they were led down a hall lined with glittering crystals that hung on strands like lights. It was beautiful, and an element Persephone did not expect. Anticipation rose as they neared the end of the hallway and passed through a curtain of the same crystals into a richly decorated room. There were several round tables covered in black cloth and crowded with fine china, organized around a ballroom's edge, leaving space in the center for dancing. The real masterpieces decorated the center, marble statues that paid homage to the gods of ancient Greece.
Persephone, look!
Lexa elbowed her, and she tilted her head back to study the beautiful chandelier at the center of the room. Strands of shimmering crystals draped the ceiling and gleamed like the stars in the underworld sky. They found their table, snagged a glass of wine, and spent time mingling. Persephone admired Lexa's ability to make friends with anyone. She started chatting with a couple at their table, and their group grew to include several more by the time a chime sounded in the room. Everyone exchanged looks, and Lexa gasped,
"Persephone, the gods are coming! Come on!"
Lexa took Persephone's hand, dragging her across the floor into a set of stairs that led to the second floor. "Lexa, where are we going?" Persephone asked as they headed to the stairs.
"To watch the gods arrive," she said, as if that were obvious.
"But won't we see them inside?"
"Not the point. I've watched this part on television for years. I want to see it in person tonight."
There were several exhibits on the second floor, but Lexa made a beeline for a spot on the outdoor terrace, which overlooked the entrance to the museum. There were already several people crowded around the balcony's edge to get a look at the divine as they arrived, but Persephone and Lexa managed to squeeze into a small space. A mass of screaming fans and journalists crowded the sidewalks and the other side of the street, and camera lights flashed like lightning all around.
"Look, there's Ares!" Lexa squealed.
But Persephone's stomach turned. She did not like Ares. He was a god who thirsted for blood and violence. He was one of the loudest voices before the Great Descent, persuading Zeus to descend to the earth and make war upon the mortals. And Zeus had listened, ignoring the advice and wisdom of Ares' counterpart, Athena. The god of war made his way up the steps in a gold chiton with a red cape covering one shoulder. Part of his chest was uncovered, revealing statuesque muscles and golden skin. And instead of a mask, he bore a golden helm with a red plume of feathers falling down his back. His scimitar horns were long, lithe, and lethal, bowing back with his feathers, completing a regal, beautiful, and frightening image. After Ares came Poseidon. He was huge, his shoulders, chest, and arms bulging beneath the fabric of his aquamarine suit jacket.
He had pretty blonde hair that reminded Persephone of restless waves and wore a minimal mask that shimmered like the inside of a shell. She had the thought that Poseidon wanted no mystery to his presence. Following Poseidon was Hermes, handsome in a flashy gold suit. He had dropped the glamour from his wings, and the feathers created a cloak about his body. It was the first time Persephone had seen the god of trickery without his glamour. Upon his head, he wore a crown of gold leaves. Persephone could tell he liked walking the red carpet. He rejoiced in the attention, smiling broadly and posing. She thought about calling to him, but she didn't need to. He found her quickly, winking at her before disappearing from view. Apollo arrived in a gold chariot pulled by white horses, recognizable at once with his dark curls and violet eyes. His skin was a burnished brown and made his white chitin glow like a flame. Instead of showing off his horns, he wore a gold crown that resembled the sun's rays. And he was accompanied by a woman Persephone recognized. "Sybil!" she and Lexa called happily. But the beautiful blonde couldn't hear them over the cries of the crowd. Journalists screamed questions at Sybil, asking for her name, demanding to know who she was, where she was from, and how long she'd been with Apollo. Persephone admired the way Sybil handled it all. She seemed to enjoy the attention, smiling and waving, and she actually answered the questions. Her beautiful red gown shimmered as she walked beside Apollo into the museum. Persephone recognized Demeter's vehicle, a long white limo. Her mother went for a more modern look, choosing a lavender ball gown that dripped with pink petals. It literally looked like a garden was growing up her skirts. Tonight, her hair was up, her antlers on display, and her expression grim. Lexa leaned in and whispered to Persephone, "Something must be wrong. Demeter always works the red carpet." Lexa was right. Her mother usually put on a fashionable and flamboyant show, smiling and waving at the crowd. Tonight, she frowned, barely glancing at the journalists when they called to her. All Persephone could think was that whatever her mother was going through, it was all her fault. She shook her head. "Stop," she told herself. She wasn't going to let Demeter ruin her fun. Not tonight. The crowd grew louder as the next limo arrived. An Aphrodite stepped out, wearing a surprisingly tasteful evening gown, the bodice decorated in white and pink flowers, the middle see-through with flowers trailing down into folds of tulle. She wore a headpiece of pink peonies and pearls, and her graceful gazelle horn sprouted from her head behind it. She was stunning, but the thing about Aphrodite, all the goddesses really, was that they were warriors too, and the goddess of love, for whatever reason, was particularly vicious. She waited outside her limo, and both Persephone and Lexa groaned when they saw none other than Adonis clamber from the back seat. Lexa leaned in and whispered, "Rumor has it, Hephaestus didn't want her." Persephone snorted. "You can't believe everything you hear, Lexa." Hephaestus was not an Olympian, but he was the god of fire. Persephone didn't know much about him, except that he was quiet and a brilliant inventor. She'd heard a lot of rumors about his marriage to Aphrodite, and none of them were good. Something about how Hephaestus was forced to marry Aphrodite. The last to arrive were Zeus and Hera. Zeus, like his brothers, was huge and wore a chiton that exposed part of his well-muscled chest. His brown hair fell in waves to his shoulders, threaded through with hints of silver white, matching his full and well-manicured beard. He wore a golden crown that fit between a pair of ram horns that curled down around his face, fierce and terrifying. Beside him, Hera walked with an air of grace and nobility, her long brown hair pulled over her shoulder. Her dress was beautiful, but simple, black, the bodice embroidered with colorful peacock feathers. A gold circlet rested on her head, fitting perfectly around a pair of stag horns. Though Demetri had told her Hades never arrived alongside the other gods, Persephone thought he might make an exception this time, with the evening being themed after his realm. But when the crowds began to disperse at Zeus and Hera's arrival, she realized he wasn't coming, at least not via this entrance.
Weren't they all magnificent? Lexa asked as she and Persephone headed inside.
They were, each and every one of them. And yet, for all their style and glamour, Persephone still yearned to see one face among the crowd. She started down the stairs and halted abruptly. He's here. The feeling tore through her, straightening her spine. She could feel him, taste his magic. Then her eyes found what they sought, and the room was suddenly too hot.
Persephone? Lexa asked when she didn't move.
Then she followed Persephone's stare, and it wasn't long before the whole room grew quiet. Hades stood at the entrance, the crystal backdrop creating a beautiful and sharp contrast to his tailored black suit. The jacket was velvet, with a simple red flower in the breast pocket. His hair was slick and tied in a bun at the back of his head, his beard trimmed close and sharp, and he wore a plain black mask that only covered his eyes and the bridge of his nose. Her eyes trailed from his shiny black shoes up his tall, powerful frame, and over his broad shoulders to his glittering coal eyes. He had found her, too. The heat of his gaze tracked her, roving every inch of her body, and she felt like a flame exposed to a chill wind. She might have spent all night staring at him if it wasn't for the red-haired nymph who appeared beside him. Minthy was gorgeous, dressed in an emerald gown with a sweetheart neckline. It hugged her hips and flared out, leaving a train of fabric behind her. Her neck and ears were laden with fine jewels that gleamed as the light hit them. Persephone wondered if Hades had supplied them as Minthy looped her arm through his. Her anger burned hot, and she knew her glamour was melting. Her gaze shifted to Hades, and she glared at him. If he thought he could have her and Minthy too, he was wrong. She downed the remainder of her wine and then looked at Lexa. Let's find another drink. Persephone and Lexa cut through the crowd, flagging down a server to exchange their empty glasses for full ones.
Can you hold this? Lexa asked. I need the restroom.
Persephone took Lexa's glass and started to drink from her own when she heard a familiar voice behind her.
Well, 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 what do we have here?
She turned to find Hermes approaching through the crowd.
A goddess of Tartarus.
Persephone raised a brow in question.
Get it? Torture?
She gave him a blank stare, and he frowned.
Because you're torturing Hades?
It was Persephone's turn to roll her eyes.
Oh, come on. Why else would you wear that dress?
For myself, she answered a little defensively. She hadn't chosen her dress with Hades in mind. She had wanted to look beautiful and sexy and feel powerful. This dress did all those things. The god of trickery lifted a brow, smirked, and conceded,
Fair. Still, the whole room noticed you were eye-fucking Hades.
I was not. She clamped her mouth shut, her cheeks reddening.
Don't worry. Everyone noticed him eye-fucking you, too.
Persephone rolled her eyes. Did they also notice Minthy on his arm? Hermes' smile became wicked.
Someone's jealous.
She started to deny it, but decided it was silly to even try. She was jealous, so she admitted, I am.
Hades isn't interested in Minthy.
It sure doesn't look that way, she muttered.
Trust me. Hades cares for her, but if he was interested, he would have made her his queen a long time ago.
What's that supposed to mean? Hermes shrugged.
That if he loved her, he would have married her.
Persephone scoffed. That doesn't sound like Hades. He doesn't believe in love.
Well, who am I to say? I have only known Hades for centuries, and you, a few months.
Persephone frowned. It had been hard for her to see Hades in any other light than the one her mother cast upon him, and it was ugly and unflattering. She had to admit, the more time she spent in the underworld and with him, the more she was starting to question just how much truth there was to what her mother had said and the rumors spread by mortals. Hermes nudged her with his shoulder.
Don't worry, love. When you're jealous, just make a point to remind Hades of what he's missing.
She looked at him, and he kissed her cheek. The move surprised her, and Hermes laughed, calling back as he flounced away, his white wings dragging the ground like a regal cape.
Save a dance for me!
Lexa returned just then. She looked bewildered.
Did Hermes just kiss you on the cheek?
Persephone cleared her throat.
Yeah. Do you know him?
I met him at Nevernight.
And you didn't tell me?
Persephone frowned. I'm sorry, I just didn't think about it. Lexa's eyes softened.
It's okay. I know things have been insane recently.
There was a reason Lexa was her best friend, and it was moments like this when Persephone felt the most thankful for her. They cut through the crowd and returned to their table for dinner. They were served a combination of ancient and modern foods, an appetizer of olives, grapes, figs, wheat bread, and cheese, an entree of fish, vegetables, and rice, and rich chocolate cake for dessert. Despite the beautiful spread, Persephone found she wasn't all that hungry. Conversation around the table wasn't lacking. The group talked about various topics, including the pentathlon and Titans After Dark. Their conversation interrupted only when clapping began, and Minthes strolled across the stage to take the podium.
Lord Hades is honored to reveal this year's charity, the Halcyon Project, she announced.
The lights in the room dimmed, and a screen lowered to play a short video about Halcyon, a new rehabilitation center specializing in free care for mortals.